Welcome to Talks from the Bible. Our design on this program is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Humanity is converted through the preaching of the truth of the gospel. The Apostle Paul refers in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 to the gospel of your salvation. Humanity is saved by hearing and by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message of Christ is the message that is to be preached to those who are lost, so that they might learn of Jesus and be offered the salvation that can be obtained through Him. Jesus Christ has come into the world to save humanity from sin. He has been sent by the Lord God of heaven through His benevolent grace and mercy, so that we might know Him as Savior. The gospel has the power to transform our life. The gospel has the power to save us, Romans 1, verse 16. And we are saved because we are transformed. We are no longer conformed to this world, but rather we are transformed from this world. When we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, we understand that we need to change the way we live, our manner of conduct, our conversation of life. We must be converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Except ye be converted, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven," Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. The gospel is the means of converting us. It is a message of conversion. When the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, he writes these words, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." When Paul writes to these brethren in Christ, to the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, he tells them that they have turned from idols to serve the living and true God. They have turned from idols so that they might wait for the revelation of His Son from heaven. These Thessalonians had been converted. Their lives had been transformed. The gospel has the power to change us for the better. We become better people. We find true enjoyment, lasting happiness, fullness of contentment through the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Paul preached the gospel in Thessalonica, they worshiped and served idols. But when they heard the truth of God and the message of Jesus Christ, they turned from those idols. They turned to serve the true and living God. Through Jesus Christ, we are to serve God. We are to give ourselves, surrender our heart, our will, and our mind to God and His way of life. God teaches us through the gospel how we are to live and what we must do so that we can be converted to Him, so that our life can be transformed. The gospel is the message of Christ, as we have mentioned. 1 Corinthians 1, 17 and 18. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." The gospel means different things to different people. To those who are lost, the gospel is mere foolishness. When one treats the gospel as foolishness, the Bible declares that that individual will perish. But there are those that are saved by the gospel, and they consider the gospel to be the power of God. Those who are turned from idols and from various transgressions of sin realize the transforming power of the gospel. We realize how we can be conformed, how we can be changed, how our lives can be altered. And therefore, we can come to know the peace of God and the happiness that God offers, the joy of serving Jesus Christ and being a member of His family, the church. Paul preached the gospel as the power of God. And there were those that heard that gospel, believed that gospel, and were saved according to that gospel. There are today those who hear the gospel of Christ. They can witness to the transforming power of the gospel. We can see how lives have been changed, how hearts have been altered, and how people have come to know Jesus Christ and His way of life through the gospel. At 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul declares unto us what is to be preached when we preach the gospel, how we are to preach Christ, what truths we are to set forth before individuals. Remember that when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and said they had turned from idols to serve the living and true God through Jesus Christ, whom God had raised from the dead. God has raised Jesus from the dead. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." These Corinthians had heard the gospel. They had received the gospel, believed the gospel, or obeyed the gospel, and they were standing in the gospel, meaning that they were living according to the teaching of the gospel. And by that gospel, they were saved. Receive the gospel, live according to the gospel will save you. But you can lose that salvation. One can forfeit that salvation. He said, "You must keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Once we have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must continue to live in the gospel according to the teaching of the gospel. The gospel must control our life, our conduct, our conversation, so that we are saved. We are saved when we obey the gospel because as we are washed in baptism, having the remission of our sins, we are saved in Jesus Christ. But we must continue in that salvation. We must abide in that salvation unless we have believed in vain. And then Paul says, "For I delivered unto you first that which also I have received." The gospel is a received message. The Bible is an inspired book. The Word of God has come from God. It is God speaking unto us. We have the voice of God, the will of God, the thinking of God, the very mind of God. And therefore, we follow after that thinking and that will. And so Paul said, "I preached what I have received." How? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Here is the gospel. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ was buried in a tomb. Jesus Christ was resurrected or raised from the dead. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ is the message of the gospel. And that truth has the power to transform your life, change you from what you presently are now into what God wants you to become. God desires to save your soul, and so He sent Jesus into the world to die, to be buried, to be raised, so that we could hear this marvelous message, obey this marvelous message, live according to this marvelous message, and be saved. In Acts 8 and verse 5, the scripture says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Christ must be preached. We must hear the message of Christ, receive the message of Christ, live according to the message of Christ. Our life will be transformed and we will be saved, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. I wish to read to you about a transformed life. These words were written by the man who preached Jesus Christ to the Corinthians and to the Thessalonians. He writes in Philippians chapter 3 at verses 5 through 11 concerning his life. This is a personal testimony by Paul, who had been chosen to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the Lord God. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Paul looks at his ancestry. He looks at the religion of his parents. He considers what he has been taught, what he has learned, and how he has lived. But when he learned of Christ, he saw a new life. He saw a transformed life. And he said, everything that had been precious and important to me was but lost. Loss so that I might win Christ. Christ is the most important truth that humanity can hear. Christ is the most important person that one can follow. Christ is the most important value of your soul and of your present life. And then Paul says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The intent and desire of the Apostle Paul was that he might know Christ, that he might be found in Christ. Paul was transformed by the gospel which he heard. Paul was changed by the power of divine truth. That power can change your life. That power has changed my life. That power has changed the lives of countless individuals who have come to know Jesus Christ through the power of the gospel. This gospel you must hear. This gospel you must learn. This gospel you must receive. And this gospel, if you live according to the teaching of the gospel, by the authority of Jesus Christ, you will be saved through a transformed, changed, altered life. The gospel transforms us. The gospel transforms us from sin. We renounce sin through the gospel. Sin separates an individual from God. Sin is the great gulf that is created between the heart of God and the heart of man. Sin devalues human life. Sin mars and scars the human soul. Sin causes all of the problems that humanity faces in this present world. Sin will destroy your health. Sin will destroy your heart. Sin will destroy your life. Sin will destroy your soul. There are people who find, as the Bible suggests, pleasure in sin. But it is but for a moment, but for a time. Because ultimately, you and I are going to perish from the scene of the living. We're going to move out of this present world. This old human body in which our soul resides is going to become dilapidated and unlivable. We must not die in sin. We must not live in sin. The danger of living in sin is that you will die in sin. The danger of serving the devil is that your heart can become so hardened and so blackened and so prejudiced toward God that you will never obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must allow the gospel to transform you from sin, to move you away from sin. In Romans 6 and verse 2, Paul says, "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" The question had been asked, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And of course, the answer to that question was, God forbid. The very design of Jesus coming into the world was to transform us from sin. The reason was to deliver us from sin, remove us from sin. We are to remove ourselves as far as is humanly possible from sin and transgression. We are to denounce sin, not only in the world, but especially in our life. We must become dead to sin, which means that we no longer live in sin. We no longer commit sin. We no longer serve sin. We sin when we listen to the devil because he entices us to sin. He has various devices and schemes by which he tempts us. You remember and recall that it is recorded in Scripture that the devil tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that temptation, Jesus renounced sin and he renounced Satan because it is written, the will of God opposes sin. Our will must battle against sin, and through the strength of the Holy Spirit and the power of God and the written word of God, we overcome sin. Listen to Paul's transformation from sin, or his discussion of the transformation from sin. In Ephesians chapter 4 at verses 24 through 32, he says, "And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." The gospel has caused us to put off the old man, to move away from sin, to be released from the dominion of the devil. And we put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is the transformed life. This is the life that has been transformed from sin. We are now living according to the character of God. God has clothed us with righteousness and true holiness. He has removed our sin, forgiven our sin. We are moved as far from sin as far as the east is from the west, wrote one Old Testament prophet. God wants us to be free of sin, and the gospel has the power to provide for us that freedom, that release from that slavery and bondage which sin causes. The transformed life is transformed from sin. But the transformed life is also transformed from the world, because in the world is where we sin. The world is represented as the fashion, the domain of Satan. We live in the world. We live in a fleshly body. This fleshly body is what is tempted. Satan presents us with certain lust. We can become attached to the affection of this world, to the pleasures of this world, to the things of this world. When Jesus talks about the planting of the seed of the gospel in the hearts of humanity, he tells us that the riches and the pleasures and the cares of this world can move us away from God. And so in the world, there are cares, there are troubles, there are disappointments, there are heartaches, there are defeats. We also know victories. We also find comfort. We also know peace and enjoyment. But we're not always on the mountain. Sometimes we must travel in the valley. We can become disappointed, but we must not be overcome by the world. We must not allow the cares of the world to separate us from Christ. And we must not allow the riches of the world. We need certain things in this world to sustain our life. But those things must not be the focus of our heart. Those things must not be the devotion of our spirit. We must not seek things above God. And then there are the pleasures of the world. Paul mentions in the last days that those who would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The Bible teaches us in 1 John 2 and verse 17, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God shall abide. This world will pass. The cares of this world will pass. The riches of this world will pass. The pleasures of this world will pass. You and I will pass. And so we must concentrate upon that which is lasting, that which is permanent, that which is truly valuable above all things. The world is not that. Your place in the world right now must be a transformed life lived in the service of Jesus Christ. James said in chapter 4 and verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And Paul counsels the church in Romans 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We must be transformed from the world by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then I would suggest to you that the gospel has the transforming power to change self. Self must be transformed. How I feel, what I think, what interests me, what concerns me, how I think about myself, what I consider myself to be, must be transformed. I must turn from my interest in self to a commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to Jesus Himself. When Jesus was calling disciples to follow Him, in Matthew 16, 24 and 25, Jesus said unto His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it." I must lose my life in service to Jesus Christ. I must continue to abide in this world as long as life continues. But my abiding in this world must mean that I have surrendered my will to Jesus Christ. I have denied myself. I have taken up the cross. And there is a cross that must be carried, because Christianity is the religion of the cross. The church came into existence and is a reality among humanity because of the cross. The transformed life is possible because of the cross. Our service to Jesus Christ is based entirely upon the cross and the empty tomb, which was prompted by the love, the mercy, and the grace of God. But I must deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Jesus. I must walk in the steps of Jesus. I must consider the life of Jesus. The book of Hebrews tells me to consider the Christ. Take a look at the Christ. Know His life, how He lived, how He reacted. And my response must be as His was. I must keep my focus upon Him and upon heaven and upon eternal life. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." I must know in this world that I am dependent upon Jesus Christ and upon the power of God. The Christian life is not always an easy life to live. The transformed life of the gospel is not always an easy life to live. But it can be lived, it must be lived, as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and realize that every day, every hour, we need God. We need His sustaining power. We need His abiding power. We must continue in Him and serve Him without reservation. We must pray to Him. We must read His Word. We must walk in His way. That's the transformed life from self. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, Peter says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." In due time, He will lift us up. He will take this humble life of service that we have offered to Jesus Christ and give unto us the eternal glory of heaven. The transformed life powered by the gospel of Jesus Christ will lead you from this world to the eternal world in the safe arms of Jesus Christ, and will give you and me and all those who are transformed by the gospel an eternal place of rest in a land that the Bible calls heaven. Won't you consider that? Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.